Forward. When I try to locate myself in the scheme of things, I discover that I am a rather puny member of the animal kingdom. Weight, 166 pounds, while an elephant weighs 2 tons, a gorilla, 880 pounds. Living in a small town, Doylestown, 8,717 population. Shanghai, 11 million. Calcutta, 9 million. In a small state, Pennsylvania, 45,333 square miles. Alaska, 569,600. Texas, 267,338. In a relatively small nation, United States, 3,618,770 square miles. Russia, 8,649,490. Canada, 4,014,263. In one of the smaller continents, North America, 9.3 million square miles, Asia, 17, Africa, 11.7. On quite a small planet, if Earth is given the index 1, Jupiter is 1,403, Saturn, 832. Attached to a sun that is only an average star, millions of other stars are bigger and brighter. Off to the edge of one of the smaller galaxies, it has only 400 billion stars, while most of the other 100 billion galaxies appear to be larger, sometimes massively so. I cannot, therefore, ever think of myself as exceptional in any respect. I know that man could never have survived the violent volcanic upheavals in the Pacific Ocean that created the glorious chain of Hawaiian Islands. The first tenants of the newly born Rocky Mountains surely did not walk upright. My kind has lived here on Earth only a few million years. The dinosaurs thrived for 100 million. And I am not homocentric enough to think that man embodies all that is best in the animal kingdom, in which he plays a dominant part. He cannot slither along on his belly like a snake or use his nose to feed himself the way an elephant can. He has not the incredible hearing system of a bat, the sense of smell of a bloodhound, or the capacity to survive underwater like a slug. He cannot cast off his aging skin like a crab or stand motionless for hours on 1 foot like a blue heron. Man is a wonderful creature, majestic in his mental capabilities, but in many other respects he is either limited or downright deficient. If man assesses himself honestly when he compares himself with the other animals, he can avoid getting a swelled head. The great reward of making such a comparison is the discovery of a vital truth. Since man shares this earth with other creatures, he is morally obligated to treat them as members of his own family. It is hideous to terminate a natural species, especially when one contemplates the millions of years it may have taken for that creature to evolve from a prehistoric prototype. The fact is that once a species, whether flora or fauna, has been killed off, it is lost forever. The primordial conditions that either allowed or encouraged it to evolve are now gone. There is no longer any seminal ooze in which various life forms can thrive and develop. There are no vast permanent swamps on whose shores they can climb or take root to make their way to transforming themselves. The temperatures of oceans have cooled, the chemical components altered. It may be technologically impossible for a reptile to evolve into a bird the way the pterodactyl presumably did. The conditions of place and time are not right. There is, of course, a radical possibility. Astronomers seem to agree that the Earth has about 4 billion more years of existence, and during that time it is possible that some cataclysm of the kind that may have altered history in the past could recur to wipe out man and allow a new creation to repeat instantly. I do not believe or accept that speculation. I believe that Genesis will come about in an orderly, continuous way, in obedience to the definable laws of nature. Within the span of man's custodial